Chapter 5. Her hands hesitated for a moment before she took judgment from Adam's hands. The guitar was a little heavier than she expected, but she managed to not drop it. Cradling it in her arms, her eyes flitted over to Adam, who had settled back in his seat, crossing his legs and steepling his fingers together, clearly enjoying himself. From behind his hands, he gave her a smile and nodded at her to go ahead. She plucked a string nervously, allowing the note to reverberate before gaining confidence and playing a simple melody. Each note was pristine and clear. It made her smile so widely that her cheeks hurt. Charlie didn't even realize she'd closed her eyes until she heard soft clapping and she opened them to see Adam applauding her.
"Wow! You sure picked up on that quick. Have you played before?"
It didn't sound condescending or mocking, but sincere, and Charlie raised her knees to try and hide behind the gilded instrument.
"Aw, don't be cute. I'm being honest here. Daddy teach you how to play, too?"
Puffing up her cheeks, Charlie set judgment to the side, mindful to not accidentally bang the guitar against anything, and crossed her arms.
"No, my mom did. And, well, not exactly. She taught me music."
She paused and folded her hands together, her index fingers tapping against each other.
"I can play, but I like to sing."
The last two words were breathed out in a whisper that he could barely hear.
"You like to what?"
Lifting her head, Charlie repeated herself.
"I like to sing."
White. Pastel blues, pinks, creams, and more white. Despite her winner status, Vaggie absolutely disliked being in Heaven's plane of existence. It really grated on her eyes. Rubbing them, she sagged in her chair as she waited for her partner who was finishing up with Sarah. Offering up yet another set of excuses of their lackluster performance in recent years. She sighed and looked at her phone, the call with Adam leaving her in a state of confusion.
"Oh, danger tits, hey."
"It's Vaggie, sir."
Even though he was her commander in their particular group, Vaggie always hesitated before calling him sir. It didn't seem to bother him, so the habit just stuck.
"Ah, why are you calling from her phone then?"
"She's busy talking with Lissa and Muffy."
He cut her off.
"So she told you to talk. I see. Can you make it quick? Kinda busy here. Just got done with a sinner."
Vaggie blinked in disbelief of what she was hearing. He was working? Was he actually doing his goddamn job out of his own free will for once? Usually, she and Lute would have to practically drag him along to do anything.
You're working? Like, actually working?"
He made an irritated sound.
"Yeah. Even I couldn't overlook this one. Real piece of shit, you know. Do you remember that body Danger Tits found in the woods? It was this fucker's doing."
Yeah, she remembered. She was there. The body was not that of a sinner's, and it was partially why she and Lute were in Heaven right now, to sort out some complications with the new winner who kept insisting that this was a mistake, that and collect their pay. Someone had to pay the rent and buy the groceries, after all. As long-lived as they were, they still required food and sleep. Hearing that Adam was doing his job actually caused her to smile a bit. He might be an idiot, but when he did his job, when he actually tried, Vaggie knew just how good he was at it.
"So you did it on your own? Man, when was the last time you ever did that? I can't remember when."
There was a short laugh, and she could hear the sound of him shifting something heavy around. Judgment, she wagers. His preferred weapon of choice. Now she could hardly doubt the truth anymore. It is just so hard to believe.
"Yeah, well,
sir?"
"Nah, it's nothing. You know how much I hate this feeling. It's worse when you two aren't around, and this particular one was one I couldn't overlook.
Yes, there were times when he would look at targets given to him and be a little more enthused about killing them. And it seemed this one was one such case. Must have been pretty nefarious if he had taken care of it.
Of course, sir. We'll be home soon. I believe there is still a bit of pancake mix left in a cupboard somewhere.
There's a thud on the other end of the line, as if Adam had missed a step, and Vaggy hears him swear under his breath.
Ah, yeah. I saw. Harder to make than I thought.
He mumbles something else, and she narrows her eyes.
Adam, sir, that kitchen better be immaculate when Lute and I get home, or
I know! I clean that shit up. Don't get your panties in a twist, bitch!
She instinctively curled her fist, but sighed and let it go.
See you bitches soon, right? Actually, I kind of... Oh, hold on.
He paused as if he had walked up to someone else.
What are you doing?
Then the line went dead. Vaggy stared at her phone for a few more seconds before growling and redialing his number. It went straight to voicemail. She felt a hand on her shoulder and whirled around, anger written all over her face.
What?
Her sister-in-arms, her lieutenant, Lute, raised an unamused eyebrow.
Did you contact him?
Vaggy exhaled through her nose and shoved Lute's phone into her hands.
Yeah, his phone died or something. He was about to say something, but... Huh.
She brought her hand to her chin, frowning.
I think he was with somebody? A target?
Lute was already looking through her phone, searching up their last few hits. She arched an eyebrow as she noted the newest one, taken care of not even an hour ago. A small smile graced her lips before she caught herself and neatly tucked her phone away in a pack that was belted on her side.
I told you he's capable of handling things without us. You should believe in him more often, Vaggy.
The other angel rolled her eyes and reached up to undo her ponytail. Keeping the ribbon that held it together between her teeth, she quickly redid it again and fluffed her hair out.
I do, it's just... It's been a while since he's taken interest. We've been in that city for, what, 3 years now? Not once did he ever take interest.
Her partner tilted her head and motioned for Vaggy to follow her as she began walking out to the promenade, her boots thudding rhythmically on the paved floor.
You know how long our commander has been at it? He was down there when I first manifested, and I've been taking down those sinners,
she spat the word like it was poison,
for nearly 200 years. You're still, what, 40 years into it? We are but small ants in his life. He's gone through this a couple of times before, too.
What? Gets lazy and starts slacking?
Lute made a tutting sound and stretched out her wings, flapping twice before she was off the ground. Turning to look at Vaggy, she crossed her arms.
It means that you still don't understand what it is like to be an exterminator just yet. Give it another 100 years, and with your disposition, see if you still feel the same. Regardless of how you feel right now, it is time we head back. We have our pay, and that nuisance has been sorted.
She couldn't agree more. Wings unfurling, Vaggy took off after Lute, who was already making her way to where the exterminator barracks were, where, in a side building, the portals to the living were housed. It was time to head home. Charlie had fallen asleep right there on the sofa after they had talked some more, and after leaving her his jacket, Adam was now in the kitchen, a glass of water sitting on the counter in front of him next to a notebook. A pencil was held between his fingers, being turned over and over again as a finger tapped against the lined paper. His phone lay next to that, the screen dimly lit by an image of a green battery charging. 17%. He was pretty sure that Vaggy was mad that the call had been cut, but it really wasn't his fault. Sometimes he forgot to charge the damn thing. With how fast technology had been progressing, it was easy to forget things every once in a while. And besides, there was a more pressing matter than forgetting to charge his phone. Charlie. He still wasn't sure what she was. Yes, she certainly had all the traits of a demon. His eyes didn't lie. He could see her true form, after all. Her actual horns and her tail, the markings on her eyes and cheeks. He rubbed his chin, thumb grazing over his soul patch, and he let out a long sigh. It felt like a lifetime since he'd seen markings like those. Not since... He narrowed his eyes and made a fist, raising it as if to hit the tabletop. But he paused and took a deep breath, willing himself to calm down. No, those days have long since passed. No point in getting upset about it now. He buried his face in his hands, massaging at his temples and running his fingers through his hair, his teeth grinding together. This must truly be a test by Sarah, to see if his resolve had changed, test his mettle. He could handle this. He always did. For how long has he done this? Instead, his attention goes back to the notepad and the few lines he's written down. It is essentially a mini-report of today's target. The way Charlie had basically taken her time to kill them, as if she had been playing with her food. Food that she would not eat, but leave to nearly bleed out. The first two had been quick, both sinners going down so quickly they had barely registered what happened. Charlie did mention that they had spoken to her about heaven, and apparently angered her. However, it still didn't make sense to him. If a sinner pissed him off, he'd draw it out as much as possible, in a less gruesome way. Despite everything, these sinners were still his children. His cruelty only went so far. Tapping the pencil impatiently against the paper, he continued his notes, even going so far as to draw a few sketches. Pretty decent ones, if he dared say so himself. And he does, because being nearly immortal now, you pick up on a few hobbies here and there to keep yourself entertained, and Adam always considered himself to have a good artistic side. The pencil stops again when he draws Charlie standing over tonight's target. He had watched from a decent distance while she practically carved them apart, as if absolutely fascinated by what she was capable of doing. How her claws slowly dug into their flesh, pausing every once in a while when they screamed. He remembered wincing and doing another quick sweep of the woods to make sure no others were around. He waited maybe a good 5 minutes before letting her know he was there, and the nonchalant look she gave him when he was looking at the corpse was sticking to him. Red eyes that just barely lit up with life, as if she was bored. An all-too-familiar gaze, just like his own for the past few years. Yet, when they were sitting together, him playing his guitar and her nodding along to the music, that had been different. It felt warm and so alive in a way that he hadn't felt for a while. Like life, or whatever it is that he is currently experiencing, existing, could be fun again. A dry chuckle falls from his lips, and he flips to a new page to continue his work. A week earlier.
I want to see more of Earth.
The plate setting in front of her is immaculate, as always. Not a single utensil out of place. So pristine and perfect, it would be more at home at a museum gallery. Even the food that has been served looks too perfect, like one of those human movies she watched a few weeks ago. She looked up from her meal just in time to see her father staring at her like she's grown a second head, his fork halfway to his mouth. He coughed and set it down, picking up a napkin to dab at his mouth.
"Weren't you just there recently, sweetie?"
The urge to roll her eyes is strong, but thankfully Charlie has enough self-control not to do so. Her hands picked up a fork and a knife, and she began cutting into her dinner with a little more force than needed, using this as a way to vent her frustration. After a few bites, she shook her head.
"That was over 30 years ago. I'm sure you were aware that times have changed."
Technology in hell was growing at such a rapid pace that it was a little hard to keep up with. Sinners brought with them so many new things that she couldn't help but become curious and enamored with the idea of the living world. of Earth. The King of Hell sighed and seemed to sag in his chair, looking almost as old as he actually was. It was only for a second, but he was soon back to normal, taking a rather large bite of his food. He chewed thoughtfully for a few moments, then waved the fork in her direction.
"Yes, and they are still as vile as ever,"
he sneered, pointed teeth looking more menacing than usual. Finally shaking his head, Lucifer throws his napkin down on top of his plate and stands up to walk over to her. He gave her a hesitant pat on the head, which she growled at. Withdrawing his hand, he tucked his hand behind his back and cleared his throat.
The answer is no, dear. Besides, Earth is no place for Hell's one and only princess. Tell you what, how about we...
He fumbled his words a little before snapping his fingers, and several apparitions of himself trumpeted some fanfare behind him, complete with confetti.
Go to Lulu World?
Now she did roll her eyes, and made a show of banging her head back on her chair. Dull red eyes contemplated the ceiling for a moment, as if thinking of her next move. Angling her head to look at her father, who was still waiting for her answer, Charlie stood up and excused herself from the table, telling him that she'll think about it. When she finally arrived at her room, Charlie threw herself on top of her bed, sinking into the soft material of her duvet. Rolling over onto her back, she held her phone aloft, going through her contacts one by one until she stopped at one in particular. A smile slowly creeped up on her lips as she sat up, crossing her legs underneath her. Oh, she was a fool to ask for permission. As he had said earlier, she was Hell's one and only princess. It was the truth, but not entirely, since the other rings also had their own royal courts ruling them. She even dated another royal briefly. 3 years of her Hell School life wasted on him. Ugh. Regardless, it wasn't Saviathan she was thinking of. Her fingers already typing out a message to one Via. It had been a while since they last chatted, but Charlie always felt a somewhat close connection to the Goetian princess, despite their differences. Satisfied with her message, Charlie held her phone to her chest as she waited for a reply, staring at the canopy of her bed. Shortly after, her phone buzzed and she answered after one ring.
"Hello? Via? Can you do me a small favor?"
"Now." She awoke with a start, her neck feeling sore from the odd angle she had fallen asleep in. Something was covering her, keeping her warm. A jacket. Adam's, to be precise. She fingers one of the studs lining the sleeves and smiles to herself. How nice of him. Turning her head, her eyes fell on a clock that read just a bit before 5 a.m., and then Charlie noticed she was alone. Gripping Adam's jacket in her hands, she stood up, wondering where he could possibly be. With how quiet it is, she thinks he's left the apartment until she sees the light in the kitchen is still on. As silently as she can, she tiptoes to peer into the room and finds him inside, slumped over the kitchen table, dead asleep. The moment she sees him, a sigh of relief seems to escape her, and she clamps a hand over her mouth, quickly turns around, and lets him be. It's still early, so it doesn't hurt to get a few more hours of sleep. Unfortunately, she doesn't see the small decorative table holding a vase in time, and she bumps into it, the ceramic tumbling to the ground. It shatters before she can catch it, and she hears another crash and the sound of glass breaking, followed by a loud curse. Peeking her head back in the kitchen, Charlie sees that Adam actually fell over, and he's on the ground, the front of his shirt soaking wet, along with sheets of paper that seem to now be ruined by the water. Adam is scrubbing a hand down his face, an annoyed expression on his face.
What the fuck?
Charlie bites her lips and walks back in, towards the sink, where a roll of paper towels sits on the counter. Tearing a few sheets, she wets one of them and with caution goes to where the shards of broken glass are strewn about.
Sorry, I didn't see the...
Adam holds up a finger.
Shut up! Just... fucking damn it! What was that noise?
He still seems out of it, shaking his head as he just sits there, his other hand still grasping at his head. Did he hurt himself?
Adam, are you okay?
Do I fucking look okay to you, babe? One moment I'm in dreamland, and the next I'm on the floor, dripping wet and not even in the fun way. And you ask me if I'm okay?
He groans and decides it's better to lay back on the floor and closes his eyes.
They are going to kill me. If Vaggie wasn't already, then she certainly will now. That one hates messes. Was that the vase in the hallway?
He's talking so fast that Charlie can only pick up on the name, Vaggie, and the last question to which she gives him an affirmative answer to. She's too busy with the scattered glass to really care, using the wet paper to carefully pick up the smaller pieces. She still decides to comment on the strange name.
You know someone named... Vagina?
Huh?
Sitting back up, he thinks about it for a moment and shakes his head.
No, it's just a mess with her, mostly. Wait.
He suddenly gets up and checks the table, ignoring the papers, stepping on them as if they don't matter, and lets out a breath.
Oh, thank fuck. I should really text them before they come.
Adam, we're home!
A voice from the other room.
Come home.
Adam looks at Charlie and then at his phone.
Shit. Can you wait here? A moment? Two? I need to talk to them first.
Charlie gives him a deadpan look but nods, turning her back and locates the broom tucked in a corner of the kitchen. Things shouldn't take long here anyway. He only feels a little bad about leaving her to clean up the mess, but this is a different situation. One that could potentially escalate into something violent if he doesn't do something about it first. Stepping into the living room, he finds his two best girls, both of them setting down bags of groceries and having a small conversation between themselves. Until Lute spots him, and she snaps into a salute, elbowing Vaggie to turn around and do the same, who sighs and does it too, if a bit sloppy. Normally he'd appreciate it, but right now,
hey ladies, welcome back!
He offers a fist bump to Lute first, who gladly returns it, but only gets a steely glare from Vaggie.
Sorry about the phone, you know, I forget sometimes. Don't get too mad about that now.
I wouldn't dare, sir.
Vaggie crosses her arms.
Just tell me you didn't pick up another girl after the job again. We've been over this.
Oh, if only she knew. Just not in the way she thinks. He smiles uncomfortably and is unable to meet her eyes.
Yeah, about that. So, actually, I was about to tell you something important. Demon!
Oh. Oh, fuck.